You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
We serve a good God. Do you know that? He is good to us. He loves his kids. That's us. We're going to have an amazing time in church. It's already been good, but I've got to tell you, I have come with a word in my spirit, and I truly believe that God is going to meet you where you are at, and today is going to be a day of breakthrough for you and for your family. So we're going to have a great time. I'm going to be telling some stories. It's going to be up close and personal. I'm going to get really real if that's okay with you. Okay, I'm going to share for a little bit of the Capaldi family history. What? It's going to happen, you guys. It's all going to happen here. So why don't you high-five one another. Tell the person next to you that you are either gorgeous or handsome. They can only be one or the other. Take a seat. Thank you, wonderful worship team. So good. We're going to have a lot of fun. Are you guys ready? So just feel like, you know, we can totally interact today. This is going to be an interactive message. I come, as you will hear, from a Jewish Capaldi family. That's like full combat when we talk. Yeah, just when we speak to one another. It's like, you know, pretty crazy. Anyways, I'm going to actually read out of John 15. I'm going to speak out of the Message version. So I'm going to read the Word of God today, and then I'm going to share some of those truths and really pull out of it how we can live our lives in unity, how we can have not only a healthy family naturally, kind of the families that we were born into, but also in the spiritual family and the family of God. The title of my message today is called The Family Tree. The Family Tree. All right, so let me read the Bible, and then we're going to get into it. This is what it says. It says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is a grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message that I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. How cool is God, that God sets it up that way? That when we are connected to him, that is when, and when we are connected to each other, we bear fruit. We can't do it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. And that was never the intent of God. So in this world that we are growing up in, it is a world in which we are meant to have relationship with one another. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. So when you're with him and you're bearing fruit, there is a result, and that's a harvest. Okay, and it says, separated. You can't produce the thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and in my words at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. How cool is that? Whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you are mature as my disciples, I've loved you the way my Father has loved you. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. How many people are excited today that there is some joy in the house of God? That there is some joy in the family of God. This is my command. Love one another the way I have loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things that I command. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything that I have heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you. And I put you in the world to bear fruit that will not spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember, the root command is to love one another. I'm going to pray and we're going to get started. God, oh God, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it does not return void. Lord, I thank you that you are true to your word, oh God. And I thank you this morning that people have come in here not by accident or by chance, but to receive of you, oh God. And Lord God, I pray that as I speak, as the words come out of my mouth, that they would not just be my words, but they would carry your spirit and your truth, oh God. That each person would receive what they need this morning. That they would receive breakthrough this morning in their lives and in the life of their family, oh God. Lord, we give this time over to you, and we are grateful for it, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the many testimonies that will come out of this house, out of South Campus, oh God. And Lord, we thank you that you are accomplishing your word in and through each one of us. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to share with you a little bit about my background. I told you I was going to share about the Capaldi family history. That's going to happen right now. I'm about to show you some photos of this awesome vacation that I was able to go on with my family. It was a family vacation. And my parents, I come from, you'll kind of see throughout this message a little bit about where I came from. And my dad, he was born into a Catholic family, was not raised a Christian, later on in his life became a Christian. My mom was born into a Jewish family, later on became a Christian. And then when they had us kids, we had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. And so I'm the product of that. And my parents, I know my mom always had this dream in her heart that us as a family, that we would grow up to love one another, that we would not just love and tolerate each other, but that we would actually be friends. That we actually be friends as adults. And so they believe this. They prayed for this. They wanted our family to grow in unity. And they wanted us to be able to not only love each other, be friends with one another, but also function in our God-given callings and have an impact on this earth for Jesus. That was the greatest desire of my family. And it was so cool. We just went on this family vacation, all 16 of us. Yep, now with like parents, with the kids and grandkids and all this, there's 16 of us, ages ranging from cute little Aaliyah. She is 15 months old. And then we have like 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 9-year-old, 17-year-old, 19-year-old. People are family in their 20s. I can't say that anymore. It's very sad. In their 30s. And then my dad, the patriarch, is 65. My mom is 62. When you see the pictures that I'm about to show you, you will not believe that my parents are that age. Dad, if you are listening to the message, you're welcome. He loves to hear this, how young he looks, but it's true. He looks really young. And so I grew up in this great, fun family. And when we went on this vacation, we went to Peru. And my dad, like, he paid for the whole vacation. It was this amazing time that we had together. And one of the days, we actually got together, and we were in the hotel room, and we kind of all piled into, you know, the room, all 16 of us on, like, the two beds, the floor, the chairs, the whatever would fit us. And we're all huddled together. And my mom, she showed, she wanted us all to watch our old, like, family videos. So it was so cool. We're all sitting there and we're watching, and I was like, oh my gosh, like my little nieces and nephews, like they don't know my, you know, grandfather, their great grandfather. And so we're telling them all the stories of this amazing man that he was, and my grandma, which is their great grandma. And we're showing, you know, sharing all of these stories, you know. And then my mom, she, after we kind of watched all the family movies, she was like, you know what, I found this prophecy about our family. And the prophecy was years ago. It was in 1997. We were young. My parents, originally from New York, and then we moved to Ecuador as missionaries when I was 11 years old. And this was during a time where, you know, we were all pretty young, and we came back to the U.S. just on a little vacation, and we went to my aunt's church. The pastor there did not know us at all. Had never met us before. And we're all seated there, and all of a sudden, he begins to prophesy over my family. And my mom writes down prophecies that are given to each of us and also to the family and saves those. And then we can see how they've been fulfilled. But she pulled this one out and she was like, I've got to read this prophecy because it's a fulfilled prophecy of our family. I'm going to read you the prophecy. It says this. Said this, the pastor was speaking to my dad and family. It says, I saw a lasso. I saw your family like a circle getting tighter and tighter. And God is creating a spiritual unity in your family supernaturally. It's been the desire in your heart and in your wife's heart. And this isn't happening just because you decided to be missionaries, but it's happening because of intercessory prayer. And the Lord says, what you have sown in tears, you will reap in joy. I see your family gatherings over a period of decades to come, that you will come together and there will be laughter and joy, laughter and joy. Remember, we're all sitting in a hotel room, literally the fulfillment of the prophecy, a gathering together. And there was laughter and joy. And there you will see the hill and the chaos that is going on in the lives of other families that you know. And you have a question mark. It is because of the price that you have paid, your price on your knees and on your face for them. I see you working in Ecuador amongst the political figures. I see you walking into offices and out of nowhere. You didn't even have an appointment, and these people will meet with you. You will have favor with them. Your influence will be from the highest to the lowest, from the bag lady on the street to the corporate and to the political levels. You know, well, how does this happen? How does the fulfillment of a prophecy like that happen? Remember, this was years ago, and truly every word of this prophecy has come about. I'm going to show you some of the pictures just to bring it alive to you this morning on what this looks like. How is it that a family like ours kind of stands out in a world of dysfunction, in a world where it seems like all the family units are, you know, we're born into all these families, and there's so much chaos and there's so much darkness, and yet there has been able to be this unity in our family. And we know it's because of what the Word of God says, that the Word of God says that we are knit together, that my parents chose to commit their lives to God, and that they chose to hold tight to that vine and to pray, and there was a spiritual unity that came on our family. And you might be sitting here this morning already and thinking, oh my gosh, I don't come from a family like yours, Stacy. I don't come from a family like yours. And it's beginning to feel almost even as you're sitting there, like a little uncomfortable. Let me tell you this. I am preaching this message to bring hope. I am preaching this message to bring hope to every single one of you that it is possible. Two people, my parents, who did not come from a Christian background, and yet their heritage and yet their legacy today is different than how they thought it would be when they were growing up. And my family is a living testament to what can happen when we truly receive the Word of God in our lives and function in according with them. Is my family perfect? Absolutely not. We're a messy bunch. We've all had our stories. We've all had our histories. We all have had crisis and pain. But there have been some things that have knit us together and kept us together. And I'm going to share from that place today. So take a look at the screen. We're gonna go through the family photo album. So this is from the vacation. So these are the parents. They started it all. Mom and Dad, 65, 62. My dad still doesn't have gray hair. Awesome. Good genes. I'm happy about that. Okay. Next, let's go to the next one. So this is Peru. This is the beautiful hotel that we stayed at while I was there. And it was so fun. We had like the kids could play. Like, look how big that pool is. And it's in the feet, like the ocean is right there. Amazing. Amazing. It was so beautiful. We were there for a whole week. My parents paid for everything, including even the gas to get there. They wouldn't let us pay for anything, all 16 of us. Okay, next one. This is the beach there. Yep, just got to like chillax. Okay, here's the family at the pool, you know, just having a good old time. There's the brothers, sisters, kids in the pool. You know, the Italian dad, a little bit hairy. It's all right. Okay, moving on. Okay, this is cool. So after the vacation that we went on, We went to, after the vacation, we all came back home to Ecuador where the family is, and we had an opportunity to, my sister was running a women's event. They were actually restarting their women's ministry in the church there, and they asked me to speak and to minister, and it was such a beautiful time because my sister was helping with all of her team and friends put on the event. My sister-in-law was in the panel. My mom was praying. I was able to speak and minister. My dad gave the altar call. 71 women gave their lives to Jesus on that night. There were miracles. It was the most extraordinary time. So how cool is this? We could be in one moment, you know, at the beach and at having so much fun, you know, at this beautiful hotel, and then the next moment we're all ministering together. Such an amazing time. So can we go to the next slide? So my sister and I told you we're 11 months apart. So yeah, you can do the math on that one. And so my sister's the older one. I'm the younger one. For 1 month out of the year, we're the same age. They call that Irish twins. So I catch up to her every single year. Yeah. When we were kids, she would like automatically change her age. Not anymore. So that's us. And then I have the two younger brothers. Okay, so next one. My dad ministering, such an impact in Ecuador. Truly, that prophecy has come to pass. He and my family have had such influence in that nation. It's incredible. They have over there's over 36 churches in Ecuador. They run hospital, a radio station. I mean, it goes on and on. What was started all those years ago, to when you stay faithful to what God has put on the inside of you, it's so cool. All these years later, to see what God has done. The harvest of what was planted. So amazing. Yeah, amazing. Okay, this picture's a little bit fuzzy, but I wanted to put it on there because when we were ministering at that event, as I said, there were salvations. There were also miracles. And I prayed for this woman. She heard in my testimony and in my story that I had prayed that my eye, I had had an eye that I couldn't see perfectly out of, and I was miraculously healed. My sight was miraculously healed. And I was telling that story, and she came up to me after, and she said, "If God can do it for you, Stacy, then he can do it for me." Now, she was completely blind. She was completely blind in her right eye. She could see nothing out of her right eye. She had cataracts in her left eye, so she could barely see through the left eye, nothing out of the right eye. And so I'm like, okay, well, we are just going to pray for a miracle. And I kind of looked around. You think, oh, this wonderful woman of faith. I'm like, where's my dad? Like, I need a man of faith. And then I'm like, my dad's praying for somebody. And I'm like, where's my mom? She's awesome at this. Like, miracles all the time. And she's like praying for somebody. I'm like, oh, Jesus, use me. Okay, I am that. I am going to be that person today. So I, you know, see how there's miracles. Sometimes we think it's like this big, huge. And look, I was doubting him. I was looking for the left to the right. And God's like, hello. And so I pray for this woman. And I'd love to tell you the first time I prayed for her, her eyes were just open and she could see. No, nothing happened. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to pray again. And so I pray again. And so I pray the second time. And then I pray a third time. On the third time, she opens up her eyes. Tears begin to fill her eyes. And she starts just in the best of ways freaking out. She could totally see. Blind eyes were open. Totally see. She looked up at the screen. She could even like read the little words that were on the screen. How cool is that? It's amazing, amazing time. Okay, let's go to the next one. My brother Robert, he had the opportunity to meet the Pope. So we talked about in that prophecy, influence. Did you see the little lady that I prayed for? She's an indigenous woman of Ecuador. Do you remember how it said, like from the bag lady to the, from the lowest to the highest, the influence can be? One of the things that makes me most proud at my family's church is to actually see that in action. They have people of every socioeconomic, and they all mingle with each other and have relationship with one another. The ones that are more well-off and wealthier, giving to the poor, that's how the hospital actually formed in Ecuador, was doctors and nurses that started to want to give back to their own people. And so they have a full-running hospital run by Christians. And they not only, it's so cool because they have a room and you can get prayed for at the hospital. And so everybody cheers and claps when a miracle happens and somebody receives a miracle, they don't even need to see the doctor. Wow. But then the doctors are there giving of their own time to their own people. How beautiful is that? So amazing. Let's go to the next one. And Robert actually, by the way, is in January, him and his wife and three kids are moving to Italy as missionaries. So really exciting. Okay, here's the fam. Here's all the grandkids. All the grandkids with the parents. That's little Aaliyah in the front. Jeremy, you might recognize in the back. He's here with me in this church. Okay, let's go to the next one. And then that's the whole gang. That's the whole Capaldi family, all 16 of us. They captured all 16 of us smiling. It was a big, huge thing to do that. That was the only picture, I think, out of the 100 that actually came through of all of us at one time looking at the screen. So that's the fam. A little bit of the journey of my family. And so I want to talk to you and speak to you in the few moments that we have about what is it, how is it, that we could have this kind of family in today's day and age. And I want to say that everything that I speak out moving forward, it is true for the natural family as well as it is true for the kingdom of God and the family that we are in. You know, when I'm here, I'm separated from my family. And do you know who is my family here? It's all of us. This is my family. When I am here, I come from this beautiful, wonderful heritage. But when I'm away from them, I've got a beautiful, wonderful heritage. I come from the greatest legacy of all time. And that is the true family tree, the one that God designed, the kingdom of God that we are both sitting in. So number one, are you joined to the vine? My number one is be in relationship with Jesus. Be in relationship with Jesus. My parents, you heard the story. This is so nuts. My mom, she was actually born into a Jewish family, and she was raised Jewish. She went off to college. She became a Christian. She had an encounter with God, and she became a Christian. She came back and told her family. They wanted to pronounce her dead to the family. They felt like that was the biggest slap in their face, her becoming a Christian. They decided not to do that. Instead, they created all of these things that she would never get any money from the family, that she would be cut off from the family if she chose to keep her faith. My mom knew that she encountered truth when she encountered Jesus. And it got to the extent where she was actually, they had orchestrated for her to be kidnapped by Jewish rabbis. This is a true story. My mom actually wrote a little book called The Twist of Faith, and it's her testimony. And she was kidnapped, and they thought that when she met Jesus and she told them she was a Christian, they thought that she was in a cult. And so they took her out of that. She was kidnapped, actually brought here to San Diego during that time. It was a whole setup. They did brainwashing sessions and all of that, trying to get her to renounce her faith. But she knew that she encountered Jesus. And so she had made a decision, a commitment in her heart. And so even through the brainwashing, even through the not eating, even through all of those things, she had made a decision. I will not deny this God who designed and created me. I know truth. I know love. A miracle. And So God had given her wisdom in that situation, and she was able to walk through it without ever denying that he was real. And instead, she got them to believe that she was thinking on her own, and she was released. There was a series of miracles throughout our family. We are still in good relationship with our family, actually, today through a series of miracles. So she didn't grow up a Christian, but she met God, and from that moment, everything changed. My dad was raised in a Catholic home, big Italian crazy family, and but he would watch his mom and dad work really hard and, you know, provide for the family and go to sleep and get up the next day and do it over and over and again. And he just thought, what a boring existence. Really, that's all that life is. You work hard, you get up, you go to sleep. You know, they were Catholic by name only, really. It was a religion to them, and so there was no personal relationship. And so he thought, what's the point of that? So he decided to get involved in, he was a really good salesperson even from a young age, so he decided to sell drugs. And so, yeah, so he kind of took the town by storm in all the worst of ways, and so he kind of was, you know, on that little rampage, and then he had an encounter with the law at one point on the journey, and they gave him an ultimatum. He was still a teenager, and they said, either we'll send you to juvie, or you can go to college. and make your choice. And so he said, okay, obviously, easy choice, going to choose university. So he chose the biggest party school in all of America at that time, which was the University of Arizona. And so he decided to go there. So he was on his way there. He stopped in California, actually in Laguna Beach, and decided to surf some waves before he went to university, to the party school, still on his intent and plan to continue to sell drugs. And there he was on the beach, and he heard this and saw this group of people on the beach, and they were singing songs and playing music. And he plays guitar. He likes music, so he kept getting closer and closer. Turned out to be a Christian group, and they were praising God and worshiping the Lord. And there was a guy that was actually a missionary, and he got up and spoke, and he began to speak about this Jesus. He began to speak about a relationship and an encounter with love and with truth. And on that day on the beach, my dad encountered Jesus for the first time and gave his life to the Lord and made a commitment to Jesus and completely turned his life around from that point forward. So if you're sitting here today going, well, I want the kind of family that Stacy's got. I want that kind of a family. It didn't happen by accident. It was by choice. It was by divine appointment. It was by an encounter with God. Two people that decided to hold close to the vine and to not let it go and then raise their family in accordance. And we got to be the product and the fruit of being raised in a Christian home. Number two, desire. Be passionate and desire spiritual unity. One of the things that my mom really sought after and my parents sought after was that we would be a family that would be united together. And they were purposeful, you know, about that. There was pain and there was loss and there was crisis. There was all these things that kind of happened in our story. But my parents were so good about celebrating, you know, with us in our triumphs and being there in the tough and the hard times as well. My mom, she was so funny. She would ask, like, you know, many people would go, oh, you know, what would be your greatest desire? Like, what do you see in your future? And she would just dream of the day when we could have these family gatherings and when we could, you know, go on these family vacations, that we would truly be friends and be knit together. And so my parents really won that battle, you know, on their knees and in prayer. But they were passionate, you know, about that. The next thing is being intentional. Number three, be intentional. I love this about my family. You know, the Bible says in John 15, this is my command, love one another the way I have loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. The thing about my parents is that they understood that loving our family was in both word and in action, and they were intentional about it. My parents, they did a really good thing because they parented us really well, and the result of that became adult friendships. It wasn't the opposite. People a lot of times think parents, oh, I want to be friends with my kids. I want us to all be friends, and when they're little, and I want to be friends. Well, we didn't need friends when we were little. We had friends. We needed parents who were going to instruct us, who were going to lead us, who were going to guide us, and the result of that great parenting is friendship today. So we became friends, and I loved it. I grew up in that kind of a household, and I can remember even back then, when I was a teenager, I remember telling my parents, "Hey, listen." So, and I remind you, I got saved when I was 4 years old. I accepted Jesus when I was four. I got baptized. I consciously felt the Holy Spirit from that young age. Raise a child in the way they go, and they will not depart from them. And so I was raised in that. And I tried to go to do something wrong, right? I would think about my mom, my dad, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was like my childhood. And I can remember one day growing up, and I told my parents, I was like, look, I don't know if I believe what I believe, if I'm a Christian, just because I was raised in it. Like, it's all that I know. And so I told them, I said, listen, what I'm going to do is I just want you to know that I'm not going to be a Christian right now. I am actually going to go on a search, on a journey, and I'm going to research all the different religions and all of the different things of spirituality. And I want to make sure that what I know and what I believe, I really know and I really believe for myself. And they're like, okay, Stacy, well, while you're on your little journey, and I told them even, I said, yeah, don't call me a Christian. Like, if somebody asks if I'm a Christian, like, I don't want to be hypocritical. So I'm going to tell them that I'm not. We're like the Christian missionaries in Ecuador currently, right? Okay. And I'm like, I'm going to tell them that I'm not. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, you can tell them whatever you want and you can say whatever you want, but you'll be in church every single Sunday during your little journey. I was like, what? I'm like, no, but you don't understand. Like, I don't know if I, they're like, great. While you're on your discovery, you'll be in church every single Sunday. Good parenting. I look back now and I'm like, man, that's good parenting. Because on my search and on my journey, God was still in the equation. And I went on my little journey. And I've got to tell you, it was little and it was short. It was a very short journey because I remember looking out at all the friends that I had. And I had a bunch of non-Christian friends because, you know, we were there to influence a nation. We weren't around people that were currently saved at that point. We were starting something there. And so I had all these friends that weren't Christian. And I began to look at their lives and their religions and the things they believed in. And I saw that the only thing that they had was brokenness. The only thing they had was pain in their lives. And I saw nothing that would relieve them of that. I saw no peace in chaos. I did not see them thriving in the arenas that they were in. They believed in these things. They believed in Buddha, Judaism, Catholicism, that was pure religion. And I did not see truth and love or the spirit of joy on the inside of them. And it was an easy choice to decide on Christianity. It was an easy choice to decide that I believed in God, that He is the only one that can bring peace and truth and love and life. So it was a real short journey, and I'm so glad that my parents parented me that way. My dad, you know, I talked about words in action. I want to encourage you in your current family situations. My dad always told us kids how proud he was of us. And you know what he did? He told us how proud he was of us, not because of what we did, but because of who we were. He didn't care if we rose up to be, multimillionaires. He didn't care if we were, he didn't care what our job was. He didn't care what those things were. What he cared about was that we loved God and that the spirit of truth was on the inside of us. He cared that we were just his kids. He didn't expect anything or anything more than that. And he made sure that we knew it. And so he would tell us all the time that he loved us and he was proud of us. Not for what we did, but for who we are. Kind of like somebody I know. I think he got that from somewhere. Isn't it just like God? We sometimes think we've got to measure up and we need to do all these things to be who God has called us to be. And yet God says, I chose you first. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I am the one who designed and created you. And because you're my kid, because I wanted one of you on earth, I love you and I'm proud of you. God made sure he told Jesus he was proud of him before Jesus ever did anything on earth. How good is that? And so I love that my parents were intentional about telling us how proud they were. My dad was front and center when I spoke and ministered when I was in Ecuador. A whole room, over 500 women in that place. And my dad sat in that front row and wanted to be there and wanted to cheer me on. And when I got off the stage and after the whole event, the first thing he told me was, I am so proud of you. You're functioning in your God-given gifts and calling. I'm so proud of you. Let's not forget to do that to the people that surround us. My mom, she made sure that we were all fed. Yeah, that was really good growing up. Yeah, she made sure that we were all fed. She would, my parents would do these things during the week. We had family fun night. We always, once a week, we had family fun night. So it wasn't just about all getting up in the morning and reading the Word of God, though that's good to do. It was also about having fun together and loving to be around one another. And they would create all these different ways where we would just have a fun time, regardless of what was going on in our lives, regardless of the chaos, regardless of, you know, the things that we might have been involved in, bad or good at that time. We had family fun night. And it was not a choice. We had family fun night, and we knew we had to clear our calendar to be at family fun night. When we were out of the house, my mom then changed from family fun night into once a week, she had family lunch or a family dinner at the house every single Wednesday. To this day, they call me on Wednesdays, or they FaceTime me, and I'm like, hi, fam, and they're all there. Because she still does it, because my mom understood I got to create an environment. I got to create an environment where my kids know how to come and sit at a table and be relational with each other and talk to each other. It wasn't just about the food, that she would do a big spread and she would show us what hospitality looked like. But she wanted to make sure that we knew how to relate to one another, and that when there were sister-in-laws and brother-in-laws and grandkids, that they would all learn how to do this. And that happened under my parents' house. And so every week, my mom would create that environment. I think about church. We kind of do that on a Sunday. We create an environment where people feel welcome, where they feel like maybe during the week it's been hell and it's been hard and they don't see what a family looks like. But they come into the house of God and they begin to see what a healthy family looks like. True for the natural family, true for the spiritual family. This great heritage that we come from. During this Christmas, let's look at that. Do we have, you know, maybe not everyone has a home to go to during Christmas. Sometimes it's the most painful time of year for other people because they don't have that big family environment. Can we be that to somebody else? I know when I'm separated from my family, I can feel that kind of ping. And yet people will go, Stacy, come to my house for Thanksgiving. Come to my house for dinner. And it warms my heart. We have to learn how to be inclusive. My parents created an environment that was inclusive in our household. And so we always would have different people coming over the house. And that's just like church. We get to be a part of that as well. Number four, getting through this quickly, Pastor Drew. Okay. Number four, have a prayer and a praise life, not just a prayer time. Have a prayer and a praise life, not just a prayer time. Sometimes we put all of our time spent with God into one moment. You know, it's the morning or it's the night or it's both. And definitely, should we have prayer times? Absolutely. But more than that, we need to have a prayer life. You heard that the fulfillment of that prophecy came about because of intercessory prayer. I got to believe that my parents were on their knees, on their faces before God when we were going through hard times, believing for the result that we have now. We need to do that same thing. We need to be underneath. And you know that we can have a prayer life all during the day? I love that God is just like, you know, Mike said, God is with us. He doesn't leave or forsake us. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us always. So we can tap into that Spirit of God, to the Spirit of wisdom, to love, and to peace throughout our day. Let's have a prayer life. When things concern you, when they concern me, I love that all I have to do is open or close my eyes and reach out to a God who loves and knows me. And in that moment, I can receive what I need from him. I don't want a result to a prayer time. I want a result to a prayer life in the name of Jesus. And my parents were really great about the hard times and then also celebrating. Can we celebrate with each other? Can we actually get really encouraged? I love that our church is a celebratory church that we cheer each other on. We just got a building and that's so exciting. It's going to house this family of God that God is designing and creating. I love that we can celebrate together. And even if you have to pull moments out of that, you have to find the fun and celebrate. Celebrate with your family. I grew up in this kind of family where my parents, they're awesome. They're like really prophetic. And so I had told you, right, that, you know, I met God at a young age. And growing up, my parents were very conscientious of that. And I can remember even going through, you know, rough times and that kind of thing. And I remember even just slightly wanting to kind of step out and kind of see, you know, what the world had to offer. And I remember I was contemplating doing some things that were not really in line with Christian values and with God. And I knew it was wrong, but I was contemplating it as a teenager. And I remember my dad coming to me. And going, hey, Stacy, so your mom and I were praying and your mom had a dream. And in this dream, she saw a black bag and your hand was in the black bag. And you were deciding whether to pull it out and to participate. And he's like, I want to encourage you today that whatever you're thinking about doing, you probably should not do. Try growing up in that family, people. I'm like, I got God, I've got mom, I've got dad, I've got Holy Spirit. I'm like, all right, I'll take my hand out of the bag. Couldn't get away with anything. I'm glad today for that kind of parenting. I'm glad today for that kind of parenting. But I love it. My parents were practical and they were intentional and they would in their intention and in their action. And I think it's good to do so. And I've just got to, you know, I just really praise God. This whole message really came out of, you know, just thinking about this great family that I have come from. And a lot of people tell me, like, oh my gosh, I want to be a Capaldi. I bring friends or I do, you know, trips to Ecuador, and everyone will say, oh, I want to be part of the Capaldi family. You know, Capaldi, our last name, actually means ones with their heads held high. You know what I believe about our family is that each of us look up to the heavens and we receive our fulfillment for God so that we can be in relationship with people on earth. And I love it. I love that people want to be part of this. Why? Why is our family? Why would that be a family to bring hope to people? Because it is the Spirit of God that is uniting us together. It is the Spirit of God that is pulling our family spiritually together. And it's attractive. When people see love and they see joy and they see the light of God in a family, when really there's so much darkness out there, I've got to tell you, each one of us have an opportunity to be part of that family, the kingdom of God, a legacy and a heritage where we are connected to the vine. We are connected to this beautiful, wonderful tree that God has designed. You know, when we look at the tree this Christmas, can we think about our family tree? Not just naturally, but the tree that God sent his son Jesus to die on, so that we could have this heritage and this legacy. When I was thinking about this whole family vacation, I told you before that my dad paid for the whole thing. That was intentional, and it took sacrifice over years to be able to do that. He spared no expense. He wanted the very best for each and every one of us. You saw the resort. How stunning it was. He spared no expense. He made sure he saved, and he and my mom were intentional. And I've got to tell you something today. My point number five is that someone always pays. Someone always pays for the experience, for the relationship that we can have. And I don't know about you, but I know that there is a great God in heaven who sent his son Jesus to this earth, and he spared no expense. He spared no expense. He gave his very best. The Bible says the only begotten son. It was God's only that he sent to this earth, that we would be in relationship with him. When he looked out at the world and he decided to create and design people on earth, that he wanted these people, he decided and he created them. He put them here that they could be part of a heritage, part of a legacy, part of the ultimate family tree. He sent his best. He sent Jesus to die on a cross that we might be saved and reconciled for all of eternity, that we could forever be in relationship with him, that we could forever be a part of the loving family of God. Do you know that Jesus so loved us? He loved us before we were born. He loved us before we hit planet Earth. Do you know how I know that? Because in the scriptures, when I was reading in the book of John, I began to read about when Jesus was with his disciples, and he prayed a couple of prayers. And one of the prayers he prayed was for his disciples. He prayed for himself when he was going to the cross. And then do you know that he prayed for you and I? Jesus was thinking about us even then, before the cross. I'm going to read it to you. In John 17, 20 through 26, it says this: Jesus prays for all the believers. That's you and I. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that you may be brought to complete unity. Unity was God's design. Unity was God's design, true for our family, true for the kingdom of God, that we would be in relationship with one another. It says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Do you know that just by us being a body of believers, it's a testament, it's a testimony of who God is, that many will be drawn to Jesus and will give their lives to God simply because we are of one accord in unity, that we are part of this family tree? It says this, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. He was already praying for our salvation because he wanted us to be with him for all of eternity. It says, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that you that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. God loved us. God's intent for family, it was his design. He knew if he put us here on earth in families, it's just a representation of the relationship and the community that we have in him. And I want to encourage you today to be in relationship with Jesus, that you, like my family, can stay, if we can stay connected to that vine, if we can pray and be intentional, then our future doesn't have to look like our history. Let today the testimony of my family bring you hope and encouragement in your own. And let this church stand out as a beautiful representation of who God truly is to each one of us. Can we all close our eyes right now and we'll pray. God, I thank you for every single person that is here, oh Lord. Lord, I thank you that right now, Jesus, you are already ministering to each and every person that is here, oh God. Lord, I thank you that family was your design and that you created us for relationship with you and with each other. And I don't know what each person's background is here. I don't know their story, but today I declare breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I declare restoration in their family lives. I see it coming together. I see conversations even happening amongst your families. I see people that were once estranged being brought together. I see whole families in that new building and in the house of God with everyone's hands raised up. Children that were wayward, that you thought it's not possible, they won't come back to him. I see them running into the house of God. I see them lifting up their hands. I see them crying out and I see tears flowing as they encounter Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for unity. I thank you for unity amongst your people, oh God, amongst each one of us, Jesus, that we would be the representation to this world that is hurting and is in pain. And when they come into this house, they will find hope as they connect in to the family tree. Lord, I thank you right now, oh Jesus, for your heart for each one of these people, oh God. And if you're here and for sake of time, if you haven't met Jesus yet and you want that relationship that I am talking about, then I want you after this time ends to just reach out to the one of the people in the blue high shirts and they will pray with you and they will speak with you and they will minister to you. And if you have any need at all, we are here to pray with you. We are what's called the family of God, not just in name, but in action. So could I just have everybody stand up right now? We're going to go out with a song. I'm going to invite Pastor Mike, soon to be, and come on up here. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.